the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We come to church and we keep the feast of Our Lady under the title of The Snows. Imagine snow on a hot day like this. It's First Friday, the day dedicated for reparation, especially by Holy Communion, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And yet our feast today is the feast day of His Blessed Mother. Tomorrow, on First Saturday, we'll keep the feast day of Jesus transfigured on the mountain. But snow or heavy, hot sunshine both come from the hands of the good Lord, don't they? And in His own plan. And Jesus is just like Mary, and Mary just like Jesus. One of the saints whom we honor in August each year, St. John Eudes, who was the first saint to start the liturgical devotion, means having a feast day or a mass, in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, used to say that they have really just one heart, because Our Lady had nothing for herself. All of her will was united with God through the heart of her Son. So when we honor the One, the Son, we honor the Mother. We can't help it. And when we honor the Mother, we are honoring as well the Son. That's how closely united together they are. Even though her Son is a divine person, and our Blessed Lady is no god or goddess, she is a human being, and yet our tainted nature's solitary boast, as said Longfellow. So what are some of the contradictions seemingly today? Well, you might say, I always like to think on this feast day of one of our greatest contradictions. It's this. We who believe, we who pray, and we who, like anybody else, have a long list of worries, intentions, and of needs, what often brings us to church? What often drives us to our knees, if not that little list of prayer petitions that we have? Please take care of this one. Please convert that one. Please grant good health to this other one. Please take care of this worry, problem, or need that I have. O Blessed Mother, O good Saint Anthony, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I confide all of these to your care. And yet, the most perfect prayer is the prayer our Lord Himself taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done. That's the great tragedy of Gethsemane, isn't it? That our Lord, suffering so much in His human nature, to bend His human nature beneath the burden of saying yes to God the Father, even though He knew all that that would entail, and that would entail His most cruel and suffering death. Nor was Our Lady any distant, nor was she any farther or behind her Son, our Lord. Remember, Our Lady was suffering in her own heart at home, Holy Thursday night, what our Lord was suffering there in the garden, in the presence of the three chosen disciples, who first had been fortified by witnessing the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. Prayer, in a word, like the Christian life, saving our soul, it's a matter of doing God's will. That's so hard to do that. That's why a goal for our prayer surely must be to find out the will of God, and then to find, with God's help, from Jesus through Mary, the strength to be able to say, as our Lord did that terrible night of Holy Thursday, not my will, but thine be done. That's a hard thing to do. Now that brings us back to today's feast. Remember, today's feast was this. It was on the occasion of a wealthy elderly couple who wanted to leave their money to God, to the Blessed Mother, but they didn't know what to do. Now today, people would say, they would call in the priest or maybe an architect, and they would say, all right, I've got $3 million or $5 million, and I want you to build such and such a building, and I want you to name it after so and so, and it's to be used for this purpose, and this is how big the letters on the outside should be. But this couple, we just know them as John and his wife, this couple didn't do that. What did they do? They prayed, Blessed Mother, show us God's will. We're childless. We have this fortune. but we want to give it to you. We want to do God's will with it. That's a kind of a prayer that's very rare sometimes because it costs us a lot to pray that way, and sometimes because we just don't think of things in those terms. And yet, how does Jesus think of things? Father, if this chalice can't pass from me, not my will but thine be done. How does Mary think about things? Be it done unto me according to thy word. I know not how this could be, but be it done according to thy word. So that kind of a prayer on the part of that elderly, wealthy couple was so pleasing. This was the 4th century. The church was already racked by dissension, by heresy, and by compromise. It was a difficult time in the church's history, and in Rome to boot. But that kind of a prayer was so acceptable to God that there was this beautiful, gracious miracle that took place. This actually was last night. So they go to bed, husband and wife do, and who knows how long they've prayed that way, because usually our Lord expects us to prove our sincerity by our perseverance in prayer. So they say, oh, what a beautiful scene. Husband and wife praying. They're praying together. Dear Lord, Blessed Mother, show us your will. We don't know what to do, but you do. You know what we should be doing. And then they have a dream. And in the dream they see on one of the hills of Rome, the Esquiline, there are 7 hills in the holy city, they see an outline of a church in snow. And then the voice tells them, this is what I want, this is where I want it, and this is how that church is to be built. So in the morning, all excited, they get up and they go there. But first they send the message to the Bishop of Rome, who is, of course, the Holy Father, Pope Liberius, a man who had his own griefs and his own troubles, certainly so. And he meets them there on that hill with his clergy in a little procession, and they both see together the outline of the church in snow, despite that those are the hottest days of the year in Rome, as they are for us in Cincinnati, too, this year at least, aren't they? Remember, Cincinnati, too, is built on 7 hills. So this is a good place for us to be praying to do God's holy will. And having the answer to their prayer, nothing remained for them but to build it. And so they built this church, the first church dedicated in honor of the Mother of God. There's an older church in Rome to Our Lady as the Virgin Mother, but Our Lady as Mother of God, this is the oldest church. This church contains beautiful mosaics, wonderful testimonies of the faith, and artistic wonders throughout the centuries. That little copy of a picture that we have there in the Shrine of the Day, that's the image said to be not painted with human hands of the Blessed Mother from this church. It's very, very ancient. There in the church of St. Mary Major, the greatest church of Our Lady in Rome, and for us as Roman Catholics too, of course, there are the relics of the crib of Christ that are brought out each year at Christmas to be venerated. There are great saints such as St. Jerome and St. Pius V, great Pope of the Rosary and the Mass, are buried. It's a wonderful church. And so while today's feast day takes us to the very heart of prayer, not my will but thine be done, past all seeming oppositions or contradictions to a real place of peace, at the same time, it does remind us, and maybe this is the last contradiction we should think of this morning, it does remind us of the fact that though we are far from Rome, and though Rome is in the hands of the enemy today, nevertheless we are, and always will be, very proudly Roman Catholics, even as we are proudly children of Jesus and of Mary. This is a good prayer to say many times today. You see it in some of the old prayer books. Jesus, make me just like Mary. Mary, make me just like Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.